This is my last message, Lord willing, on heaven tonight. I've been talking about heaven the last several Wednesday evenings, so this is my last one. And 1 Thessalonians 4, I've entitled this A Reunion Day. I have E.M. Bounds wrote several small books on prayer. If you ever get it, see those, I'd encourage you to get those and read those. That was what he was probably primarily remembered for as far as his books, was his books on prayer. He's got like four or five of them. They're not very big. You can read them just in a few settings. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture as we deal with the Lord's return and the rapture of the saints. But I want you to look at tonight at the Scripture here. We'll read verse number 13 to 18. I'll give you a few thoughts tonight. Verse number 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain on the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so we're going to look at that verse, those verses tonight, give you a few thoughts about heaven, about our reunion one day, and that'll kind of wrap up our last several weeks on heaven. Father, thank you tonight for time we have together. I pray that you would bless now as we look at this scripture. Father, I pray that you would give me again insight and help tonight. May each heart, Father, be open and receive your word and be encouraged, Lord, with the thought of heaven, with the thought of your return. And Lord, we thank you for that precious promise. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening. May your will be done. And we'll thank you, Father, for it. Now we pray. Amen. I want you to notice verse number 13 that there's two things that Paul wants to warn us about and would not have us do. Number one is we're not to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep in Christ, verse number 13. So his desire is, as he writes these next few verses, that first of all, that we would not be ignorant concerning the Bible. And I'm really, you know, today, in today's culture, you know, really is with all that's available, there's no reason for any Christian to be ignorant of God's word or doctrine. And require sometimes study, but if you just read the word of God, there's no reason to be ignorant of God's word. Now, ignorant doesn't talk about here. It's not talking about IQ or something that's stupid. It's just talking about a lack of knowledge, a lack of knowing. And so there's no reason for that. And so Paul's desire was that, first of all, that we would not be ignorant concerning those that are asleep, the doctrine of those that are going on before us. And then he also says that we are not to sorrow as others which have no hope. So it's not right for Christians, as we face death, to sorrow as the unbeliever, because we do have hope. So we find here that as we read through here, verse number 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." And so we find that the Bible gives knowledge. And Jesus Christ gives hope. Amen. And I believe that with those together, the believers that are steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of God are the ones that get their knowledge from the Word and have their hope in the Son. And so what a combination as you grow in grace. We're to add to our faith knowledge, for one. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter. And that gives us hope. And so those that you find that are steadfast in the Word of God, they're unmovable in faith, and they're abounding, they're laboring for Christ, are those that are not ignorant of God's Word, neither are they without hope. They know and they have hope in the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So tonight, with that being said, I want to give you tonight a few thoughts from this passage of Scripture to deal about with the reunion day. We talked tonight about heaven, about the Lord's return, and about those who have gone before us. I want you to see tonight four things from this Scripture. The first one is maybe five. Yeah, five. But they won't be too long. But don't take that to the bank, because I always say that, and it tends to go longer than I'm used to, or than I mean to. I'm used to going long. Number one is this, the promise of a resurrection. What's the promise of the resurrection? We see here that the Bible says in verse number 16, if you look down at the last part, it says, and the dead in Christ. Here we have a group of people. We don't think of it that way, but they're a group of people. They're the dead in Christ. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ are said to be asleep. We find verse number 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And so the dead in Christ are the believers who are have gone on before us, and God calls them the dead in Christ, but they've also been referred to as they're just asleep or they're sleeping. We know this for the fact in John 11:11, we find that Jesus Christ referred to as his friend Lazarus as sleeping, that he was going to go to Bethany to raise him out of his sleep. And so that's what it takes to get some folks out of bed, is Christ to come and tell them to get up, rise, and come forth. And then we find also in the book of in Acts 7, verse number 60, that as Stephen was being stoned to death, the Bible says when he fell asleep, that he gave up the ghost, of course. And we find that his death was referred to as he fell asleep. In Acts 13:36, the Bible also refers even the Old Testament saint of David as having fell asleep after he served his own generation. And so for the believer in Christ, we find that their death is referred to as sleep. Now, sleeping is a separation of the soul from the body. If you hold your place in Thessalonians, and come back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We see this take place here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We find that sleeping or death is simply a separation from the body from the soul. 1 Corinthians 5 verse number 6. Watch what the Word of God says here. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home, watch it, in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse number 7 says in 2 Corinthians 5, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. There it is, the absence from the body, and to be present with the Lord. So we find here that death is simply a separation of body from the soul. While we're in the body, we're separate from the Lord. And so death, our body, is that barrier that separates us from the Lord. But to be absent from the body, to die, to fall asleep in Christ, is to be present with the Lord. And so that we find that at death, the soul is separated from the body. The soul of the believer goes in the presence of the Lord, and the soul of the unbeliever goes to hell. And of course, Revelation talks about that hell, and hell is delivered up. And one day and judged and cast in the lake of fire. But right now, the holding place for the unbeliever is a place called hell. But when a believer dies, they're separated from, of course, their body goes into the ground, and their soul goes to be with the presence of the Lord, and they're in heaven with the Lord. And so we find here the promise of the resurrection. So the soul of the dead is with Jesus. Now, there is a teaching, you don't hear it much anymore, but there was a teaching, maybe it's still around, I'm sure it is, a teaching called soul sleep. What they believe that is when a believer died, their soul would stay, would hover above the body, and would go into like a hibernation mode and stay there. The soul would stay there in this hibernation mode until the return of Christ. But the Bible makes it very plain and very clear that when a person dies, their body is placed in the ground, or whatever happens to the body, and their soul is immediately with the Lord. Present with the Lord. And that's where they are, of course, until the return of Christ. Now we find then the dead shall be raised and all shall be changed. That's that promise of the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn back a few pages to the left. So we have the dead in Christ, those that are asleep. They're referred to as asleep because they're separated from their body. Their body's in the ground, or their body, whatever it happens to be, and their soul is with Jesus Christ in his presence. In 1 Corinthians 15, then, we read another scripture dealing with the return of Christ. Pick with me at verse number 51. Here the Word of God says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, that's something that we can understand, okay? We have to read and study. It says, we shall not all sleep. There's referring to that death again. Not everybody that's a believer will sleep. Let's say come to our church, okay? Pick us up on a Sunday morning when we're tired. But we all shall be changed. That's the motto of the nursery as well. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So we find that there's a promise of a resurrection. The Bible said that those that are dead going to be before us, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this matter, because if you understand what the Word of God says, you'll not have sorrow as others that have no hope. Our hope is this, that when a person, a believer, dies, they're dead in Christ. Their body is placed in the ground. The body is disposed of. And they are in the presence of God. Their soul is there. Then God says that in the last day, the trump shall sound. The return of Christ takes place. And the dead, in fact, we find that verse number 16 in 1 Thessalonians said that Lord, when he comes, he's bringing those souls with him. Okay? But the dead are raised up and they're changed. And so I believe when Christ returns, the dead in Christ, those that are sleeping, their soul is now given that glorified body. And it says, then we shall be changed as well. And so the twinkling of an eye, when that last trump sounds, our body is going to be changed. And we're going to have a glorified body. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that this corruption will put on incorruption. That this mortal will put on immortality. So now all of a sudden I'm going to have a body that cannot sin. And I have a body that cannot die. And so Paul says, don't use sorrow as others that have no hope, because those that are dead in Christ are simply sleeping. They're waiting for his return as well as you are. And when Christ returns, he's going to bring them back with him, and they're going to get a brand new body like yours, and they no longer have a body that will sin or that can die. And so we're promised this resurrection. And Paul declares this in 1 Thessalonians by the word of the Lord. Verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So this is not any private interpretation. This is not Paul's opinion. This is not a Baptist. This is not a Baptist or a traditional thing that came down from the church fathers. This is the word of God. God says to Paul, Paul, here is what's going to take place in the last day when that trump sounds. And so Paul gives us this by the word of the Lord, the promise of a resurrection. Now that ought to by itself give us the reason to have hope and not sorrow. And so when my grandparents passed away, both of them born-again believers, I miss them greatly, but I'll see them again one day. And when they are, when I see them, they're not going to have frail old bodies anymore. But they'll have a body that's incorruptible and that's immortal, so as we. Then I want you to notice number two is this, a promise of a return. So we have in this chapter, these verses, the promise of a resurrection, but also a promise of a return. Verse number 16, God says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and then in Christ shall rise first. We find here that God says that he himself is coming, the Lord, Jesus Christ. He's not going to send, he's not going to delegate it. You know, I guess leaders are supposed to be good delegators. And delegate what you don't want to do. And so that's why I need Brother Victor to be full-time, because this is a pastor here. So I can delegate what I don't want to do, which would be everything. And the Lord's not going to delegate this responsibility. He himself is going to come to get his family, to get his children, to get his bride. And the Bible says, he shall descend, and we shall be caught up. Verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord, when he comes again, is not, at this point in his return, is not coming to the earth. Now, here's where some folks get the return of Christ mixed up. Because at the end of the tribulation period, in millennial reign, he is going to come back again to the earth and put his feet upon the earth. And he is going to rule and conquer and going to rule the earth. But at this point, he's catching us up out of here to avoid the wrath of God, the tribulation period. We find in the book of Thessalonians as well. But we find here that the Lord has promised us a return. He is going to descend. We're going to be caught up. And the meeting is in the air. This is a promise that he has made in John 14:3. He told us in John 14:3 that he's going to go prepare a place for us. And he said this, and I will come again. We read in Acts 1:11, the angels even promised to us that he would return as he was taken up, he'd also become in like manner. So we find here that the Lord himself promised us a return. And if you look at chapter 5, verse number 9, we see here one of his reasons for his return is this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort one another, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. So we find that the tribulational period is the wrath of God being poured out upon a world of unbelievers, mostly to the Jews for the rejection of Jesus Christ, mostly to bring them back to Jesus Christ. But we find here that this is referred to as the wrath of God, and the believer that's saved has not been appointed to the wrath of God. And so we've been promised a return before it takes place, a return because of salvation, of course, in Christ. And so there is a promise of a return. Number three, there's also, we find in this scripture, the promise of a reunion. Verse number 17 says, and here's what Paul was trying to give them comfort with, is that it says, then we which are alive remain. So that's all those that are alive, and that could be us tonight. Could be every one of us in this room that are alive and remain. So we caught up together with them, the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So here we find, here's that reunion that the Lord promises. And here's why Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who are asleep. Neither I want you to sorrow as though. Now listen, some have gone to the extreme that says it's a sin to sorrow for the passing. There's no sin to sorrow for those who've gone before, but not like the unbeliever's sorrows. Because it's not the end, it's not goodbye, but it's just, I'll see you later. And so we find here there's a promise of reunion. And God says that we'll be caught up together with them in the air and meet the Lord together with them. So it's going to be a reunion. So I'll get to see my lost loved ones. I'll get to see those that have gone before me, those saved before, grandpa and grandma and my dad and hopefully my mother, and see them again, and Tammy's dad, and see them once again. And so there's going to be a reunion there. Now, the question might be asked tonight, well, will we recognize each other? And I believe, according to Scripture, that we find in Scripture that we will. Let me give you a couple examples. Peter, James, and John on the Mount Transfiguration recognized Moses and Elijah. All right, they knew who they knew those men. We find that as Stephen was being stoned and heaven opened up, that Stephen recognized Jesus Christ in the right hand of God in his glorified body. The rich man, when he died, recognized Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So we find that whenever somebody dealt with the dead or the return of those, that there was that we recognize one another. Now again, some things are going to change. Our body's going to change. We're not given in marriage we like the angels in that aspect. But it would appear to me that by all means that we will maintain our identity. We will know each other in heaven. There'll be a reunion. And by the way, if there would be no identity, how can there be any comfort then? If we wouldn't know each other in heaven, well, Paul can write what he wants to write. He wouldn't bring me any comfort if I don't know anybody in heaven, if I'm just there with a bunch of strangers, okay? Or a bunch of 30-year-old men, as Peter Ruckman would preach. And I hope that's not true. I hope that everybody in heaven is not 33-year-old men in heaven. So, anyway, the liberals will have a big fit in heaven if that is the case. A bunch of men will be like, well, who's going to henpeck us? So, anyway, I better go on because you guys aren't laughing very much. Number four, we have the promise of eternity. Verse number 17 says this in the very last part, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When it's all said and done, now notice the King James Bible. If you remember, several months ago, in fact, maybe it was even a year ago now, maybe more longer than that, when Brother Victor did a word study on words, and shall and will are two words that we use for future tense, but shall is more positive, stronger than the word will. Will kind of has that thing, kind of like will, if things all work out, it will happen, you know. Shall is one of those promises that this is going to happen. And so the word shall we find here, God says we shall be with him forever, with the Lord forever. And so we have the promise of eternity. We will inherit the place that Christ has prepared for us. Take your Bibles and look with me at Revelation chapter 21. What a tremendous scripture here in Revelation 21. Verse number 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." That's why God says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Because this earth is going to pass away. We'd be foolish as people to invest our whole life in this earth. Talk about foolish investments. All right? And I know we have to make money, pay our bills, provide for our family. But you better not tie your heart and your affections to this earth. It's going to be gone one day. When John said this, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." No more separation, no more barriers. No more by faith and by hope, but now by sight, by experience. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That's because now they're 33-year-old men. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So here's that precious promise that God has, that there will be eternity. And the Lord said, listen, there's coming a day when there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and we shall be his people. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, white, black, yellow, purple, pink. We're all going to be his people. And God himself will be our God. And we'll see him face to face and be like him. Now, Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So here was, sometimes we as people, we fly by the seat of our pants. We don't make plan B until plan A's failed. Plan B, where's that? But there never has been a plan B with God. God said, before the world began, this is the promise that I have for you, eternal life. That through the ages would come, after the church age would be finished, that there'd be a new heaven, a new earth, and that we would dwell, that's God's plan, that we would dwell with him once and for all for eternity. So we find the promise of eternity. Number 5, we have then the promise of relief. Verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Here's a good reason to have church. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 5. "Wherefore comfort yourselves together." You can't do that at home in front of a television. Okay? You can't do that in the middle of the river somewhere in a bass boat or in a tree stand hunting. Okay? You can't comfort yourselves together, edify one another as also ye do. And so here we find that Paul is advocating, again, church attendance and a church family. But it says that we're to use these words to comfort one another. There's very few things in life that can really bring true comfort, but these are the words that can bring comfort to a hurting soul. When a loved one passes on, to realize, wait a minute, this is not eternity. This is just for a short time, and Christ is coming again. To realize that when things get bad and all of a sudden you get frustrated and you get confused and maybe a little irritated and angry, that life will not always be this way. They say that getting old is not for the weak and the feeble. But as you get old, your body changes. That's just the way of life, but things will always be that way. And one day we'll see Christ face to face and be like him. And so we're to use these words. I want to encourage us as a church tonight that we as a church should edify one another with the word of God. I know we do. I enjoy talking to our church family. And sometimes I walk away thinking, you know what? I should have used more scripture, or I should have prayed with that person. And so we need to edify one another and comfort ourselves with these promises that Christ is coming again. Amen. And we'll have a reunion there in the air one day with our loved ones and Christ face to face. I want to say in conclusion that we are not guaranteed a happy day this side of heaven. Now, you showed me the guarantee that God said he guarantees us a happy day this side of heaven. But in heaven, there will be a reunion, and every day will be a happy day. I read this hymn by Fanny Crosby. "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King." and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now in heaven a place for me. And I shall see him face to face, tell the story, saved by grace. Now, for Fanny Crosby, that meant a whole lot, being that she was born blind. One time I heard this story that somebody asked Fanny Crosby, a surgeon, said, "Fanny, if we could take and fix your eyes and give you sight, would you let us do that?" She said, "No, because I've been this way for a long time, and the first person I want to see is Jesus Christ, my Savior." And so I want to encourage you tonight that there's going to be a reunion one day. That'll mean something to the believers. And Lord tarries. And by the way, he could come back anytime. Man, some historical things are taking place in our country. Trump has done some things that no other president has done with Israel. And the stage is being set. I'm going to applaud Trump for what he's done. God is using him, and he's being used of God. And the liberals don't like it, and I'm happy. You know, I was watching the other day. I watched a press conference with Netanyahu and Trump. And Netanyahu said, "We have never had a friend in America like Donald Trump," and that says a lot. But one of the first presidents that recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, now recognized the Golan Heights as sovereignty of Israel, and promised to back them up in action if required. And so that's something. Anyway, the stage is being set for the Lord to return. But if he does tarry, and he might, he could. We don't know the day or the hour. That means that a few of us are going to, if the Lord comes in our lifetime, there's going to be a few of us that are going to fall asleep before that. Don't do it here in the church service. We might think you're dead, okay? From now on, if somebody falls asleep, we're going to say to the ushers, "Those folks are dead. Take them out and bury them along with those folks that lied." Who was those folks again that lied in the Bible? Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, take and bury them by them, those folks. But anyway, that's the case. We're not going to sorrow as those that have no hope. Because of Christ's promised resurrection, his promised return. And so I wanted to bring that tonight to you. A reunion day. And looking forward to that reunion day. Now, that reunion won't ever get over. There have been some reunions as a family. I've been like, glad that's over. But that reunion day, we'll be glad that that'll never, never end. Amen? So anyway, I'm 15 minutes ahead. What are we going to do? Food pantry? We're going to wake up those that are asleep in Christ. Have food pantry. All right. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word, for your promise of your return, and of the great reunion one day that we'll see our loved ones. And Father, I can't wait, Lord, to see you, Father, most of all. Lord, what a pleasure it's going to be to see Grandpa and Grandma again and my dad and others, Lord, that have gone on before us. And Lord, we're going to rejoice to see Sunday school teachers and deacons, Father, who have passed on, and friends, Lord, that have died. And Lord, thank God they're in heaven with you, Father, safely and resting in peace. But Lord, we just look forward to that reunion, Father. We pray that you'd help us to live, Lord, our life every day and every hour as if this was your return. We'll praise you now, Father, tonight for your help and your encouragement. Let's thank you, Father, for it. Now we pray. Amen.